Blog Talk Radio.
Make the summer we bless till we pull. Me a funny girl say blessings are running down. Me a dead, dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing up the cup around what I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am close to 190. I'm the 190 to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm close to blessed. Close to blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a Dutch pot. And from the nose, the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me on tonight. Truly, God is good. He is worthy to be praised, and I'm so glad that I'm able to study the Word of God with you tonight. I pray that all God's blessings are upon you and upon your family, and I pray that you are in good health and that you are strengthened in the might of the Lord. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory and honor and praise today. I thank you, Lord God, for this moment that we're able to pause and to give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done in our lives. Oh, Lord God, for how you brought us through another Mother's Day here in the U.S. and, Father, around the world for those who celebrate Mother's Day. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with good mothers and grandmothers and aunties and, Lord, those who are able to take care of the children and the household. Lord, I pray for your daughters everywhere that you will continue to bless them and give them strength. I pray for your sons, O God, who lead the households and who lend support to these mothers. O God, that you would truly bless these families. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the center of our families. Lord God, we realize that we could not make it without you. And we thank you right now for that special undergirding that you give to families who rely upon you, O God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who have put their trust in you, who have put their faith in you. And I thank you tonight, O God, for what you have already done, for what you're about to do. I thank you, Lord, for listeners everywhere around the world, for how you have truly continued to bless them over and over and over again. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, it is truly a blessing to be studying with you. Tonight we are going to be looking at the book of Exodus, chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, and I want to ask you a very important question. Do you have the qualities of someone like Jochebed? Do you have the qualities of Jochebed? And before we go on to read Exodus chapter 2, I want to show you who Jochebed is. And if you look at Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, and it says, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister." So you could actually find her name in the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verse 59. And dear friend, let's begin our study tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus, chapter 2. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Because I drew him out of the water. Now, if you are familiar with the story of Moses, dear friend, you will realize that it started really way back with Joseph. Joseph and his coat of many colors. If you remember, when Joseph had issues with his brothers, and when his brothers were jealous of him, and his brothers took his coat, threw him down into a pit, and how they put an animal's blood on his coat, and they went and they lied to his dad and told his dad that he had in fact died. But what they did, if you read the book of Genesis, even all the way through the 45th verse, chapter, 46th chapter, if you read the chapters in Genesis, you will see that Joseph's brother, they were extremely jealous of him, and they decided that they would bring harm to him because he was having all these dreams about his brothers and his father and everyone bowing down to him, and his brothers were extremely jealous. And, of course, it did not help the fact that their father gave him a very extravagant coat with many colors, and he was, in fact, his father's favorite. And so after he had these dreams and he was, you know, sort of bragging to his brothers about the dream that he had, they decided to get rid of him, and so they did. They put him in this pit. They went home. They lied to their dad about what had happened to him. And then what they did was sell him to some Midianites that were passing by, who took him down into Egypt. When Joseph got into Egypt, God showed him favor. Wherever he went, in Potiphar's house and even down in the prison dungeon, God gave him favor. And so from the dungeon of the prison, he came up and he became Pharaoh's right-hand person when he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream to let Pharaoh know that he was going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. He, Joseph, was able to save not only all of Egypt, but all of the surrounding people survived, including his own family. The end result was that his family moved into Egypt, and they lived over there in Goshen. And when they lived over there, eventually Joseph died in Egypt, and then a new Pharaoh came who remembered not the good that Joseph had done. And so we find in the book of Exodus, if you look at chapter 1, you find that this Pharaoh was very intimidated by the Israelites. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so, get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor." That means they were very, very hard on them. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." Verse 15, it says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So, dear friend, what we see happening here is that this new king came into Egypt. He did not know Joseph. He did not know the good that Joseph had done for the people of Egypt. All he knew was that these people had multiplied and that they were very strong, the Israelites were. And he was afraid. And I want you to take note of something, dear friend, that fear does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. Not that type of fear that makes you tremble and afraid of other people. That does not come from God. Now, when you use the word fear, which means respect, that's a different word altogether. When you respect someone, that's actually a good thing. You should have fear for God. In other words, you should respect him, you should honor him, and you should obey him. But this fear that the new king of Egypt had, it was actually a very negative thing, because this king, he feared the children of Israel. He was afraid of them. Now, I want you to know, dear friend, that when God is with you and when the mark of God is on you, there will be people that are afraid of you because they are afraid of the God that you serve. And that's all right. It's all right for people to look at you and be afraid. The time for you to worry is when they're not afraid of you because you blend in with them. The children of God should never blend in with the world. There should always be something different about you. You should always carry yourself in a way where people can see that you are a godly person. They can see the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life and in your mannerism and in the way that you treat other people. And so we see there, friend, that this king, he was so fearful of the children of Israel that he decided that he wanted to kill off the males in the family because the males were the ones that would grow up and who would go into war and fight. And so he called the midwives. The midwives were the people, the women who delivered the babies. So he called the midwives, two in particular, and he gave them orders. He said, listen, if you go to deliver the babies and it is a male child, I want you to kill it. And so the midwives knew that they could not honor such a wish because the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill, right? So they feared God, and they knew that God did not want them to destroy life because they did not create life. And we know, in fact, that the Ten Commandments was given after this because the Ten Commandments was actually not given until after the children of Israel left Egypt. But we know that God made us with an innate ability to understand that we should not take life because we did not give life. And so the midwives were fearful of what God would do to them if they started killing their own Hebrew male-born children. And so they didn't do it. And the Bible tells us that because they did not do it, that God blessed them. The Bible refers to it in verse 21 is that he made them houses. What that means, dear friend, is that God established them. God took care of them. God made sure that everything that they needed was provided. I want you to know, dear friend, that when you, in fact, do the will of God, when you do what God is calling you to do and you walk with God, I want you to know that God will establish you. He will truly work it out so that everything that you have need of is provided for you. Dear friend, don't be afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid to walk in faith because God will take care of you and he will take care of your family. And so Pharaoh realized that the Hebrew midwives were not going to obey him and they were not going to cooperate with him. And so he decided to give that charge to his own people, his own soldiers, and to his own Egyptian midwives. And so he told his people that if they came upon a family that had a newborn boy, that they were to kill it. And so we see that the Israelite women were living in perilous times. They had to be very, very careful because if they had a newborn and it was a boy, they were subject to have that child killed. And so we get to Exodus chapter 2, where the Bible tells us about a man of Levi, of the house of Levi, and his wife. Now, I read for you at the outset from Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, where the Bible actually named who this man and this woman was, and it was Amram, and his wife's name was Jochebed. And so we see, dear friend, in Exodus chapter 2, where the Bible tells us that this woman conceived. In verse 2, she conceived, she bare a son. That means she was pregnant, and she delivered a son. She saw that he was a nice, healthy child. Now, I want you to know, dear friend, that she had no inclination. She did not know that this man was going to be a prophet of the Lord, that he was going to be the deliverer for their people. All she knew is that when she saw this child, she knew that she had to save him. Dear friend, God will put in your heart, in your mind, the things that you need to do. If you would just pray and seek his face and understand that he will give you direction for your life. Now, Jehochabed, she didn't have any idea, as I said before, that this son, Moses, that he was actually the deliverer. All she knew was that when she looked at him, something prompted her to save this boy, and she did. She saved him. So, Jochebed saved her newborn. Now, the Bible says that she somehow or the other was able to conceal the fact that she had this newborn at the house for 3 months. But at the age of 3 months, she realized that he was too big and she was not going to be able to hide him anymore. And so she prayed, she sought the Lord, and the Lord directed her to put him into a basket to make sure that she sealed the inside of the basket with slime and pitch, you know, tar and what have you, to make sure that no water could seep into this basket. Therefore, this basket could not sink into the water and drown the child. That basket would float because of the fact that she sealed the basket properly. Now, dear friend, I want to ask you, do you have the traits of a Jochebed? Are you courageous? Are you faithful? Do you trust God? Are you courageous? I want you to think about that. Do you have the traits of Jochebed? Jochebed was faithful. She was courageous. She was, you know, brave. She trusted God. She was trustworthy. God could trust her with this young prophet that was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I want you to know, dear friend, that this mother did not know the outcome, but she trusted God. How many times have you been in a situation when you did not know the outcome, but you just had to trust God? I'm a witness that I've had many, many times in my life when I did not know what was going to happen next, but I trusted God. You have to live by faith, dear friend. You have to walk by faith. We don't have to see what's going to happen tomorrow. All we need to do is know that God said it. And if God said it, then we have to believe it. Whatever God has said, dear friend, just obey his voice and do what he has called you to do. Read the instructions in the Bible. The instructions in the Bible are very, very clear in telling us how we ought to live our lives, in telling us what we need to do with our lives. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to develop the traits of Jochebed. Jochebed trusted God. Jochebed had faith in God. Jochebed was courageous. She stepped out in faith and placed that little boy on the water. Now, dear friend, of course, she did send his big sister to watch the basket so that they would know where the basket ended up. And, of course, the Bible tells us that in verse 5, I'm in Exodus chapter 2, verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, Pharaoh's daughter. Now, remember, Pharaoh was the same person who decided that he was going to kill all the baby boys, the Hebrew baby boys. Now, can you imagine that God used the enemy of his people to save them? Now, I want you to really, really think about that. God used someone who was, in fact, the enemy in order to help his people, because Pharaoh's daughter went against an order and still took this baby boy who she knew was a Hebrew and raised him as her own son. Now, can you imagine that? She knew the edict that was set forth, and she still took this boy and raised him. Now, isn't it just like God to set up situations in such a way that even when the enemy tries to do you harm, God turns it around for your good? Even when the enemy tries to set people in place who would malign you and talk about you and mistreat you, God will make sure that there's always someone in place that will be a buffer between you and that other person that's trying to harm you. God will always make sure that he works it out, that everything that you have need of is set in place, is set in motion to make sure that your victory is assured. Dear friend, your victory is assured. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to cry about it. Your victory is already assured. God already has everything worked out for you. Whatever you need, God has already provided it. Whatever you're praying about, God has already done it. Whatever you're seeking God for, he has already opened up that door in front of you. Dear friend, don't be alarmed at the things that the enemy will try to set in place to try to trip you, to try to make you fall, to try to divert your attention from what God has told you to do. I want you to know that you must keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has already shed his blood on Calvary just for you. And I want you to know that even when you see diversions, in other words, things that try to get you off track, don't allow it to happen. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God already has plans set up for your victory. Dear friend, are you a Jochebed? Are you courageous? Are you brave? Are you trustworthy? Do you know that this woman was very brave to hide the little boy and then to put him on the water and to let him go? Dear friend, it means a lot for a mother to know that her child is safe, for a mother to know that God is watching over her child, and to put a baby into a little basket and send him forth on the water like that. Come on, friend. You know there could have been crocodiles. There could have been all types of things in that water. When she sent that little basket through those reeds like that, you know, the tall grass growing up in the marshy water like that. But, dear friend, she trusted God enough to know that when she placed that baby in that basket and when she did the tar on the inside to make sure that the water could not get into the basket, she trusted God enough to let that baby go and to know that God was going to place that baby into the right hands. Now, I want to know, do you trust God enough with your future? Do you trust God enough with your dreams? Do you trust God enough with your children? Enough to release it into God's hands, to release your dreams, to release your future, to release your children, to release your spouse, come on, to release your family members, especially the ones that are not saved. Do you trust God enough to release all of that into his hands and to trust him that he has already worked it out? Now, remember, Jochebed trusted God. She placed baby Moses into that basket, and she trusted God to direct him where he needed to go. Dear friend, stop worrying. Understand this, that you must trust God to direct you the way that you need to go, in the direction that you need to go in. Now, his sister, and of course we know that his sister, her name was Miriam, his sister stood afar and she watched what happened. And of course we know that Pharaoh's daughter She was bathing in the water because, you know, of course, back then they had no swimming pools, and they had many people did go and bathe in the river, by the riverbanks of the Nile and different, you know, places. But in this particular area in Egypt, they bathed in the Nile River. And I want you to know that his sister approached Pharaoh's daughter, and when Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket, of course, the baby started crying, and God touched Pharaoh's daughter's heart, and she had compassion on the baby. And immediately, of course, we don't know how long the baby had been underwater, you know, how quickly the baby got to its destination, his destination. And so by this time, the baby was hungry. And so the baby started crying, and his sister came up, Miriam came up, and asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Would you like for me to get someone for you who could nurse the baby?" Now, isn't it just like God? You know, people say that God has a sense of humor, and I would tend to agree with them. Now, can you imagine that this woman just stepped out on faith, released this baby on the water? Oh, I feel the presence of God. She released this baby, put this baby in the basket, trusted God totally. She removed her hands totally, trusted God completely. For whatever his will was for this child, she stepped back and said, "Lord, now you handle it." Dear friend, do you understand that when you step back from a difficult situation, and when you throw your hands up and you say, "God, you handle it," I want you to know that God will go immediately. He will work on it immediately. And if you will just let him handle it, you will see that it will work out well. Oh, hallelujah. It will work out well for you, dear friend, if you just put your trust in God. Jochebed left this situation in God's hands. She could not hide Moses anymore. She could not keep him at her house anymore. She was endangering not only the little boy, but herself, her husband, and her other children. And so she realized that she needed to go ahead and send this boy on the water and see what God did. And so God brought little Moses right to Pharaoh's daughter. His sister came over and said, "Shall I get a nursemaid for you?" And of course, because that, you know, she wasn't pregnant, she was unable to nurse a baby. Remember, back then, they had no stores to buy formula or anything like that. So babies depended heavily on breast milk. And so she said, "Yes, you know, go get me someone who could feed this baby." And of course, the young lady, Moses' sister, ran and got his own mother, his biological mother. Now, I'm amazed, just truly amazed at the things that God is able to do. Dear friend, if we could just picture this in our mind, if you could just picture this in your mind, picture what God is able to do in your life when you place it completely into God's hands. Can you imagine when that little girl came back and says, Mom, guess what? You're going to nurse your own son." Can you imagine that? She just gave him up. She just finished crying. She just finished drying her eyes because she knew that someone else was going to have to take care of her baby. And here God gives her 2 more years to spend with her child. Now, depending on when she weaned him, whether it was age 2 or age 4, because some Jewish families, they do keep the baby on breast milk a little while longer. Now, whether it was 2 years or 4 years, I do not know. But what I do know is this, that when the baby was weaned, after a time, that Jochebed did bring him back to the palace, and that Pharaoh's daughter raised him as her own son. Now, yes, it was a heartbreak a second time, Because first she had to give him up that first time. Jochebed had to give up Moses that first time when she put him into that basket. She had to put him in the basket, let him go, cry about it, and send his sister to watch and see where the baby went. And then, surprise, surprise, God gave her back the baby. She was able to nurse the baby. Who knows, a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, she was able to nurse the baby, wean the baby off of breast milk, and then give the child back to Pharaoh's daughter. And then, as you know, Moses was raised in the palace up until the time when it was time for him to start his ministry. And then he was the one who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as you know, if you're a Bible scholar, you know that he was able to do this, he and Aaron, by sending plagues upon Egypt, all types of plagues, all types of things such as the firstborn dying, lice, the water being turned into blood. You know, they did all types of things. All types of things came upon the people of Egypt. And eventually Pharaoh let the people go, and they came up out of Egypt after 400 years. Now, I said all that to say this, dear friend, that God knows your situation. He knows your family. He knows exactly what you're going through. And I want you to know that he wants you to be like Jochebed. He wants you to trust him completely. And once you put that situation into his hand, he wants you to step back and leave it. He doesn't want you to go back and pick it back up. He doesn't want you to tell every single soul you know about this problem. You know, because we tend to do that. When we have a situation that's going on, we tell everyone who will listen about it. That's not what God desires, dear friend. God desires for you to go into your secret closet and for you to utter those things that cannot be uttered to other people and tell God about it. Tell him about the things that are in your heart, the cares that are in your heart. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon him because he cared for you. And so, dear friend, when you place your care into God's hands, we know that he hears, he understands, and he does respond. And so, are you like Jochebed, dear friend? What does it mean to be like Jochebed? You must be courageous. You must be strong. You must be trustworthy. And you must be a person of faith. When you have great faith, God is able to do great things through you and for you. Now faith is, Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Dear friend, be a great woman of faith. Dear friend, be a great man of faith. Whoever you are listening to this message, be a person of faith. Understand this, that God blesses those who trust, who put their entire trust in him. Jochebed trusted God. And I want to know, dear friend, do you trust God? Do you really, really, really trust God with everything? Or do you just go through the motions, and then when you're tempted and tried, you buckle under? I want you to know, dear friend, that it is God's desire that you put all of your trust in him. I'm going to read for you a little bit from a little book. A friend of mine just gave me this for Mother's Day, and I really appreciate the gift. It's his Bible Promise Book for Women, Prayer Edition. I'm going to read for you a chapter that says courage. It says, few of us require the kind of courage that Daniel had when he entered the lion's den, or that David exercised when he confronted the giant. Nevertheless, courage is needed to conquer our fears, proclaim our faith, and overcome adversity. Oftentimes, we need courage just to get through the day. The following verses provide instructions and admonitions to build our faith and fortitude. They equip us with the courage we need to conquer our giants in life's den of lions. Lord, when it comes to courage, I have more of, I have none of my own. Without you, I would be filled with fear, terrified of a future I cannot see. Thank you for patiently taking my hand and helping me face my fears. Amen. Now let me read you some scriptures in this little book. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, the NLT, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." Psalms 27:14, the King James Version. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the NASB version, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity," King James Version says fear, "but of power and love and discipline." And of course, the King James Version says of a sound mind. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, the NIV, it says, "So we with confidence, the Lord is my helper." Oh, let me say it again. "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" And of course, King James says, "What can man do unto me?" Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 28, the NKJV version, New King James Version, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." So, Proverbs 28, verse 1, the NIV, it says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Dear friend, are you as bold as a lion? Do you have that Jochebed spirit? Once again, Jochebed was the mother of Moses. She was brave. She was courageous. She had faith. And I want to know, are you brave? Are you courageous? Are you putting your trust in God? God is calling you right now to put your trust in him. I just want to read you just a little bit more. And this is a prayer. It says, "Lord, I've often found myself afraid. Please help me remember where my strength and salvation comes from, and to say with confidence, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 from the NLT, it says, "And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame." Dear friend, don't shrink, but be courageous, be strong. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, the New King James Version. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Let us draw near, dear friend. Draw near to God in full assurance, in faith. Psalms 31, verse 24, the NLT version. So, and NLT is New Living Translation, for those of you who might not know that. It says, "So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord." I'm going to say that one more time. "So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord." Now, let's qualify that. So what that verse is saying is that those who put their hope in the Lord are strong and courageous. And if a person is not strong and courageous, they are lying when they say that they have put their hope in the Lord. Because those who hope in the Lord are strong Amen. The Bible even says, let the weak say that I am strong. Ephesians 3, verse 12, King James Version, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Dear friend, we have access through Jesus Christ. We are bold because of Jesus Christ. We are strong because of Jesus Christ. I want you to just put your trust in God, because God is working things out for you. And just like he worked it out for Jochebed, when she released Moses, God brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the palace. I don't know where you are, dear friend, in your faith walk with Jesus Christ, but I pray that you would be strengthened. I pray that you would once again reaffirm your dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would once again begin to just praise him and worship him. Begin to allow him to do the great things in your life that he has wanted to do. I just want to read you a little bit more from this promise book. And this promise book was put out for women. And I'm looking in the front to see who actually put this book out. It was put out by Barbour Publishers, B-A-R-B-O-U-R. Barbour Publishers. And the chapter on faith says, you may be unaware of it, but you exercise faith daily. By faith you fall asleep, confident of morning. You eat, expecting nourishment. You breathe in air you can't see. You drive your car, trusting it will take you to your destination. Jesus said that faith as tiny as a mustard seed is enough to produce miraculous results. So why do we assume that only mountain-moving faith will do? The Word of God is a faith builder. So read on and cause that mustard seed to flourish and to grow. And a prayer in this book, it says, Lord, keep me strong in my faith no matter what. When I am following you, I can be blessed no matter what others say about me. Thank you, Jesus, for mapping the way for me. Amen. And let's look at some faith scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 6, in the New American Standard Bible, it says, but he must act in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When we ask anything of God, dear friend, we must be firm. We must not doubt. When you need something from God, understand that you must believe that you have received it in advance. Luke chapter 17, verse 6, the NIV translation or the New International Version, it says, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, the New King James Version, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And so the Bible talks about us having faith. Though those of us who are living now have not seen Jesus face to face, we have accepted him as our personal Savior, and we believe. Mark chapter 5, verse 36, the New Living Translation. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. When Jesus went to the house to raise the child from the dead, the Bible says that people were mocking him, and they were, you know, making all kinds of jests, but Jesus said, don't worry about it, just have faith. Now, isn't that a word right there, dear friend? When God tells you, don't worry, just have faith. Do not worry, just have faith. Look again, Luke chapter 7, verse 50, King James Version. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Now, how many times, dear friend, has God said, listen, because you have faith, just go in peace. Amen. Isn't that a word right there? Just go in peace. Just rest in peace, knowing that God has already handled your business for you. And look at this prayer. Lord, my faith seems weak, not the type of faith that might bring victory, but in you I have the assurance of victory. I've read the story, and in the end, you will reign victorious. I praise you, Lord. Come on and praise him right now for victory, because you know that victory is already ahead for you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the New American Standard Version. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12, NIV. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And, of course, the King James Version says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Now look at Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19, the King James Version. The Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen and amen. Know this, dear friend, that God has great things in store for you, and he is waiting right now for you to put your trust in him. Mark 9:23, the New International Standard Bible, it says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. John chapter 6, verse 45, it says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. So Jesus said, listen, you've got to come through me. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we, what? Must be saved. Must be saved. Now look at this other scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. The NK, New King James Version, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you have been, dear friend, if you have been depending on friends to instruct you or to guide you, or you're just depending on Bible school or what have you, I don't knock Bible school because I went to Bible college, but I want you to know that there's no teaching like being at the feet of Jesus. There's no teaching like you personally spending time praying over the Bible and studying it and asking God to reveal himself to you. All the additional books in the world, they cannot take the place of your study of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, our closing scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to know, dear friend, that the Lord loves you. He wants you to serve him with all your heart. He wants you to be encouraged right now and be like Jochebed. She was courageous. She was brave. She had faith. And she stepped back and allowed God to handle the business at hand for her. And that particular business was the fact that she needed to get a safe place for Moses. And she put him in the basket, put him on the water, and Pharaoh's daughter plucked him out of the water. I want you to know, dear friend, that God has everything worked out for you to be plucked out of the water. If you feel like you're drowning, you feel like you're going under, I want you to know, dear friend, that there is hope for you. God has everything in his hands already worked out. Victory is on the horizon for you right now. Put your trust in God. Our closing thoughts for today are persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, God has great things for you to achieve right now. And I pray that you have been blessed by our study today on do you have the qualities of Jochebed. She was brave, courageous, trustworthy. She had faith. What kind of qualities do you have, dear friend? Do you have those qualities? Do you know that God wants you to have those qualities? And do you know that victory is already on the horizon for you? Today, dear friend, let me pray with you, and I hope that you have been encouraged. Father, we just bless you. We honor you, O God. We lift up your holy name. I thank you for each and every one that will hear this message, that will study with me. I pray, O God, for your daughters and your sons everywhere. Father, O God, bless them right now. I pray for those that are sick. I pray that your anointing would just flow right now, Lord God, into that sick room. For those that are sick right now, we pray, O God, that you would heal pneumonia right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, O God, that you'll heal that one that is having trouble, O God, with the ventricular, the areas around the heart right now, God. They've been having trouble, and someone is talking about some kind of bypass surgery. But, Lord God, I know that you're able to heal that heart right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you're remembering those that are sick and shut in. Father, those with cancer, Father, I know that you're able to heal. God, you're able to go through all, oh God, the organs of the body. You're able to heal cancer right now. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for nations all over the world that are listening in Asia, India, Lord God, over in Europe, in the UK, in Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Nairobi, Lord God, in all over Africa, in South Sudan, Lord, in different places all over Africa, in Central America, oh God. We pray, God, for those in the Dominican Republic, in Haiti, oh Father, in Australia, Lord God, Brazil, Lord, all over, in Germany. Father, we know that you're able, oh God, to remember your people wherever they're listening around the world. Bless them, oh God. Keep them. And I thank you right now, Lord God, because you never leave us nor forsake us. Pray, God, that you'll continue to help your people to put their trust completely in you, Lord. Father, help us to exercise that measure of faith that you have given each and every one of us. And we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise, Jesus. We give you glory, Jesus. We honor you, and we say thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, we just thank the Lord for you, for studying with us. You've been listening to Evangelist Faith Reed. This show is called Vision. And we pray that you would truly put your trust in the Lord. Listen right now to Trust in the Lord.
Yes, indeed. And Job, while you were going through, he looked up and he said, though he slay me, yes, will I trust him. So I want to encourage someone today, listen, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct
Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You can find them on YouTube. And we appreciate Second Chance Ministries, Brother Uhart and Sister Princess and their group allowing us to use their music. God bless you, Second Chance Ministries. Thank you so much for your music, for your ministry. And we appreciate all our listeners from around the world. God bless you. We love you. Be encouraged. Victory is on the horizon for you. Second Chance Ministries.
Ah! Me say summer we blessed till we fool. Me a running all the blessings are running down. Me a dead, 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 dead,
dead, dead, dead, dead, dead, dead, dead, dead, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider.